Good morning, His Tabernacle. We want to welcome you to God's house this morning. I hope that you came in with a heart of expectancy. I hope that you came in expecting God to move in your life. If you have sickness in your body, we're going to ask you to approach the altar because God's desire is to heal that sickness. If you have some bondages and some addictions you've been struggling with, boldly approach the throne of God today because breakthrough, if you need restoration of your marriage, Jesus has every answer. He has every solution. We get to give Him the glory, and then He brings blessing upon us. Glorious Heavenly Father, we worship You and we honor You. We thank You for the things that You've done. We thank You for who You are today in all things. You and You alone are our Jehovah Rapha. You are our God that heals. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our God that provides. We give You the glory for who You are and what You will do in our lives in this moment. Amen.
Are you ready to praise the name of Jesus this morning?
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, You are here.
Sing, I will live.
I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live. I will not. I will not die. The resurrection
who it was, but I heard somebody say, if the Spirit of God doesn't move you, then you move the Spirit of God. And one of the best ways to do it is by calling out the name of Jesus. So can I just hear you call out his name? Yeah, let me hear it again. Jesus! Amen.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name, your great name. We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name.
You want to sing it one more time? We love to call.
Your name is something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name, your great name, King Jesus, no other name, King Jesus, none stronger, we can call on you, things change when we call your name.
Sing King Jesus.
King Jesus. No other name. King Jesus. None stronger. We can call on you. Things change.
Yes.
When we call your name.
Sing we love to call. Come on, hands up.
We love to call your name. It's something cannot explain
that happens
when we proclaim your great name, your great name, King Jesus, no other name, King Jesus, none stronger, we can call on you and things change,
yes,
when we call your name.
Power in your name. Come on, tell him this morning.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Sing, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Sing, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
King Jesus, hands up.
King Jesus, no other name. King Jesus, none stronger. We can call on you. Things change, yes, when we call your name.
Come on, just call out the name of Jesus right now. Go ahead, call his name. There's power in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you.
Faithfulness,
again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again.
Jesus. Jesus. We've seen you move, Jesus. We've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. We've seen you move, Jesus. We choose to believe, Father, that you're going to do it again. Jesus. Jesus. With every hand lifted in this place this morning, with every hand lifted high, every eye closed. Don't look at the people around you. Every head lifted high. This morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know your presence is here. This is your service. This is your house. We are your people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God right now, right now. Lord, if the people, Lord God, have never felt you before, that they're going to feel you right now in Jesus' name. That people, Father God, that have never even believed that they can be healed by you, that right now you're healing right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, that Father God, everything would subside and settle, that we can actually literally feel your presence. We can be people. We can be in the presence of an almighty God. For our daddy loves us. He wants us to feel his love. He wants us to experience his presence, his loving touch right now, God, in Jesus' name. I'm praying, Father, for your touch from heaven to come upon every single life here today. Like never before. That Jesus, we can't walk out of these doors and actually say to ourselves that we came and left the same way we came in. But Lord, we know that we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've been in the presence of a heavenly daddy, a father that loves us, that is here for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for you do move those mountains. I don't know who this is for in this room, but this morning I just keep hearing into my spirit. So many times we get knocked down, knocked to our feet, get kicked on our butts. And he's saying this morning, get up. The word this morning is get up. It keeps resounding in my spirit, get up. Don't stay down. You know, it might take work to get back up, but you know what? It doesn't take work when you keep pressing forward. It gets easier, it gets better, you get stronger. There's a strength that comes supernaturally that will keep you on your feet and moving forward. So get up. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, that anytime we have even a thought or an imagination that would not rise, not be in alignment with your word and your will, that, Father, you're going to bring conviction, Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak to us and say, that's not from me. That confession is not from me. That, Lord God, we can have a tenacity and a boldness to get back up and to do what you've called us to do, to move forward, to do what you've commissioned us. This is not about us, Father. It's about you. It's time to get back up. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, listen, on your way back to your seat, I want you to shake a few hands and make sure that you go to say hi to 5 people and say, get up.
two quick announcements about the parades. If you want to participate in the Memorial Day Parade, it's going to be held on May 28th. 9 a.m. will be in Elmira and 1 p.m. will be in Horseheads. On that day, we pass out frisbees, candy, love on the community, and we invite almost 1,000 people to church in one day. So if you'd like to participate in that, you can sign up right in the foyer. Additionally, we're looking for a team of people to help build a float for the parades. That's right, we're doing a float this year. If you have skills and talents within that area, we would love for you to sign up right in the foyer as well to help out building the float.
Hi ladies, I'd like to personally invite you to the Women's Day Brunch coming up May 12th at the Hilton Garden Center. The cost is $20 per lady, and we're having a 1920s roaring 20s theme. So you can get your flapper dresses or anything from that era, dress up, come out and have a great time. Even if you don't want to dress up, you are all welcome. The seats do fill up fast, so please make sure you come and see us in the foyer at the Hub after service. Look forward to celebrating you.
Hey y'all, baptisms are happening May 20th. If you want to get baptized, make sure you sign up at histabernacle.com/baptism. Pastor Dan, what are you doing?
I'm swimming!
Okay.
Hey, have you joined a group yet? Listen, we want you to join a group because we have these available to help our family get connected. We want you to make sure that you're growing in relationship with Jesus as well as with our family. We actually have the opportunity to become a part of something larger. So you can go online at histabernacle.com/groups and sign up to join a group today.
You should join my group. Memorial Day is coming up in just a few weeks. So what we're going to do is honor our veterans on Memorial Day. And we would like to honor you and acknowledge you by you giving us a photograph of yourself so we can display it on the screen during the service. So veterans, anyone who served in the armed services, we want to celebrate and honor you on Veterans Day. So to do that, we have a photo array that we show on the screen of all our veterans. So please send your veterans pictures in uniform, or if you don't have any in uniform, out of uniform, to creative@histabernacle.com, or bring them into the Hub and we'll scan your picture into the computer system. We thank you and we want to acknowledge you on Memorial Day this year.
Well, good morning, family. Some of you need to get a little bit more excited. I was reading in the Word this morning, and you know what it says? David said this. He said, "It one day in God's house is better than 1,000 anywhere else." So I don't know what you need from God today, but I want to tell you that one encounter with Him can do what years can't do. Amen. So reach it forward and grab that for yourself today. I'm so excited. So I just want to welcome you. Thank you for being here today. It is a beautiful day outside. So thank you for being inside with us today. We appreciate it. Minister Carl.
Hello, hello, welcome live stream. I want you today from live stream, wherever you're looking at today, to reach in, grab hold to God. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you're searching for, today is your day. So let's live stream. Let's shake the world for where you at today. Welcome, welcome.
Awesome. And if it's your first time in the house and you're a guest, would you just raise your hand? We have a couple awesome people on the sides that want to get you a guest packet. We just want to let you know a little bit more about us and what we do. I see a couple hands at the back. Right after service, if you would make your way through the door, my left, your right, we have a guest reception with coffee and snacks, and you get an opportunity to meet our pastors, and we just want to love on you. I have one last announcement, and that is tonight is Awaken Monthly. We are having free readers and fajitas, so you want to be there. This is probably the best food we've ever had. You don't want to miss out. It's going to be awesome. So 6 p.m., childcare is provided. If you know somebody, drag them with you. We want to do it. It's growing every single month. Last month, we had 75 young adults come out, and it was awesome. So we're so excited. We love you, Pastor Chad.
I was just talking with Steve, and he told me that he smoked the chicken and pork overnight. So the Lord is faithful. If you're not in between the ages of 18 and 30, I'm sorry that you don't get to participate in the blessing of the Lord today, but I'm excited. I'm very privileged because I have the opportunity to share with tithes and offerings. And I would like everybody just around you, grab an envelope in your hand real quick, because I believe that many Christians, we believe most of the word and we're obedient in most of the things God says, but there are some areas that we kind of overlook. So just grab an envelope in your hand, wave it at me real quick. Oh, look at that. That's awesome. Amazing. And now I want to talk to you today, and I want you to just keep this in your hand as I share quickly. Today I want to talk about how God rewards obedience. I believe that God doesn't want you to just be rich when you get to heaven, but he wants you to have abundant life here on earth. Now, abundance looks very different for different people, but abundance is known by having more than enough. So obedience gets a reward from heaven. If we look at 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a prophet, his name was Elijah, and there was a famine and a drought in the land, and he went up to this woman who God instructed him to go to, and he said, "Woman, please get me water and make me some bread." And she said, I have only a little bit of bread left, just enough for me and my son to eat, and then we were gonna die after that." That's so sad, but he said, "Before you do that," I'm getting confused with this lighting. Is it on or is it off? It's the rapture. I'm expecting, like, when the lights go off, everybody's gonna be there, and then when they come back on, nobody's gonna be back. All right, sorry, distracted. I apologize. And so this woman, he said, "Go and make me some bread first and then feed your son and yourself." So she did that out of obedience. And you know what God rewarded her with? Her flour and her oil did not run dry until the famine was over. That woman was obedient to God's word. And then another opportunity in the New Testament, Peter obeyed God when he told him to throw his nets off on the other side. See, Peter had been fishing all day, and he had been working and toiling, and they came up with nothing. But God sent his word forth, and his word always performs after itself, which is really exciting. And so he sent that word forth and said, "Throw your nets over onto the other side." And when Peter was obedient, he got a reward from heaven. And that reward was the nets were so full, they didn't even know what to do with themselves. That's an exciting thing. And so what we need to understand is that obedience to tithes and offerings are a key to rewards and supernatural abundant life in the kingdom of God. When we look at Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove to me now, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be enough room to receive it." You see, giving in this offering today, you are going to receive a reward, because that is God's word that he sent forth, and he is going to perform after it. Now, I wanted you to hold your offering because I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today, and that the things that you used to have are not quite satisfying to you any longer, because God's calling us all to increase. Now, what we need to understand is that our current situation and our finances are determined by our previous giving of our lives. So what we've previously given and what we've sown and what we've tithed determines the harvest that we're living in today. Now, I know with myself, I'm not fully satisfied with where I'm at right now. Can I hear an amen? And I'm actually blessed. But I want ever increasing finances. Now, I'm just going to share quickly a testimony. Last year, 2017, God spoke to me and he told me to give above and beyond my tithe and offering. He told me to give a specific amount and give towards where I wanted to be at the end of the year. That's faith, because I did not have that kind of money in the moment. But God told me, just increase your seed and I will meet your need. And so when I increased my seed, it was incredible, because about 5 months later, nothing had changed. Not a single thing but had changed. But 6 months later, I walked in and opportunity after, it was like literally the windows of heaven had opened up, and my obedience to God's word gave me a reward that I can never even contemplate or understand. And so when I went through at the end of 2017, the exact amount that God told me to increase to was now my tithe for 2018. I need a better amen than that. Come on, folks. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. I want to challenge you today. Where do you want to be with your finances? Because wherever you sow your seed, that's where you're going to increase to. Because God performs his word. So if everybody would stand with me quickly, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. And I love the beginning because it says, if I obey, obedience demands a reward. Obedience demands a reward. So let's determine in our heart obedience today. So let's make this declaration. If I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase me down. They'll trip me up, because I am a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithes and offerings this morning.
Just set a few things straight before I preach. I have two simple rules for when I preach. Number one, you cannot be quiet. We're about to have church. And number two, you cannot be quiet. Okay? It is very, very simple. Do you know why? Because we serve too good of a God for us to be quiet. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that if I was to die, God, who's going to give you praise? It is my reasonable service to have my mouth open to declare the goodness of the Lord and to give him praise. Okay? So whenever the pastor tells you it's time to give your God some praise, you open up your mouth and you blow the roof off. So let's try this one more time, okay? All right, y'all, let's give our God some praise. Yeah. Woo! Amen, amen. I am incredibly excited this morning. I have the privilege and the opportunity to stand behind this amazing pulpit and to preach. But before I do, I want to give honor where honor is due, and that is to our senior pastors. They are in Indiana right now. And Pastor Rhonda had a phenomenal No More Hurt conference already. Many women's lives were already touched, healed, set free, built up. Who here has been to a No More Hurt conference? So you know exactly how amazing that is. Now she's taking it across the nation. How amazing is that? So come on, let's give God some praise for that. And Pastor Spencer will be preaching all of their services this morning. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to hold it down here. Amen? So, Father, we thank you right now for our senior pastors. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the man and the woman of God heard from you clearly, held to your word, despite the obstacles, despite the naysayers, despite every attack from hell, Father God. They stood their ground. They kept their face, God, to you. They were in their word. They are spirit-filled and Holy Ghost-led. And Father, without them, none of us would be here today. So Father, we thank you for them, God. Bless them. Increase them supernaturally in every single faction of their lives. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father God. Have your way in today's service. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now, only if you brush your teeth this morning, but I need you to turn to the person next to you and say, neighbor, I'm not a mess. I'm just in transition. All right, turn to somebody else and say, hey, other neighbor, I'm not a mess. I'm just in transition. This is the year of? Wow. Y'all need to help me out here, okay? This is the year of? Every divine connection will inevitably lead to a divine transition. Every divine connection will inevitably lead to a divine transition. There was a time before I was married. I was single. And had this friend in Rochester. He invited me up to his house, and we went out, and we were there eating. And he said, I'm going to invite some of my friends from my church. I was like, all right, whatever. So I'm at Applebee's. Chai Lai on Monroe Avenue, eating chicken wings, what I do best. Come on, Alan. Chicken wing sauce all over my face. And the door opens, and these three girls walk in. But there was one particular brunette, Ikodoboshai. And I caught her eye, and I had to quickly wipe the sauce off of my face. That didn't help. And in that moment, I had a divine connection to my future wife. So in that moment, hold on, I made a transition from strangers to acquaintance. You see that? Every divine connection leads to a transition. So I finally got her number. And guys hate to talk on the phone until they find that girl. They're like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. So we're there talking, and before you know it, I fell in love. And now we made a connection emotionally, which led to a transition from friendship to romance. Then I connected her finger with a ring, the right way, and now we made a transition from romance to marriage. Then I followed what the Lord told Adam to do in Genesis. I told y'all, we're going to have fun today. And then we transitioned from adulthood to parenthood. Are you with me? And it was cute. The belly grew, and
it was all cute. But then that day in March 2015, 16 was it or 15? 15, good, I remembered. Thank you, Jesus. We're at Arnett, and they're screaming, there's crying. Please give me more meds. How much further am I dilated? Wake up, Obi, I hold my hand. And at 1:10 a.m., there was a transition of a child that has grown in the stomach. He was in his own world, but now he transitioned from a fetus to a child. Every connection leads to a transition. And y'all see my boy running around with his curly hair, and oh, he's so cute, but y'all don't see what happens at home. Because it starts from goo goo gaga, all that, to sleepless nights. Oh, so many sleepless nights, good Lord. And then now, he could talk. Y'all about to get married soon. They start to talk. Daddy, hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I brought you into this world. What you mean, Daddy, hold on? Daddy, I need milk now. Now? So now we have a cute little boy. Who now has to make a transition from timeout to knockout. Because I'm not playing that. I am too African to let some three-year-old boss me around. And all the people that got disciplined growing up, shout amen. Good, I'm not all alone. In every stage of life, see, my son, he began to connect intellectually where he thought he could talk a certain way. So now he met a transition in which timeout doesn't work anymore. Go to your room doesn't work anymore. The Bible, no, stop. The Bible does say that you will strike the child and they will not die, but that's a different sermon. I want to let you know that you will encounter a transition. In fact, I would dare say that most of you right now are in transition. And in fact, people around you, they will tell you, you look a hot mess. They will tell you, what's wrong with you? And you know deep within yourself that I'm not ending here. But everybody else looks at you right now and says, something's wrong. I don't know this person. And because I don't know them, I don't want to be around them. You're in transition, but you look like a mess to everybody else. They don't get it. Your spouse doesn't get it. Your children don't understand it. You call your pastor, they don't get it. You go to a counselor, they don't get it. You're crying out to the Lord, there's no answer from heaven. You feel like you are all by yourself in this transition. Now you begin to ask yourself, what have I done wrong? Why am I in this place of transition? I like the place of yesterday, where every time I prayed, I got an answer immediately. I like the place of yesterday, where I was sow 1 minute and reap the next day. I like the days of yesterday, where I heard God's audible voice 24/7. But now I'm in a place where all those things have stopped happening, and I feel stuck. I want to move, but I feel stuck. I'm going to reverse R. Kelly's song. My mind is saying yes, but my body is saying no. All y'all unsaved people laughing. I'm stuck. Now the devil begins to speak to you and say, oh, Christian, I don't see you moving anymore. Oh, Christian, you look like a mess in your position. Oh, Christian, remember the days of yesterday where you would do all these great things for God, but look at you now. You ain't doing nothing. Who's ever heard those lies? Be real. Okay, good. But I want to declare something to you right here and right now. Your transition is not a condemnation. It's a graduation. You see, because you were here and yesterday looked pretty good, the lie has been, well, since you're not in yesterday and you're stuck here, you've been fired from what you used to do. But I want to declare to you that you're not fired, you just got promoted. And in the midst of promotion, things look messy. Oh, when Judah came out of the womb. Tyra said, you better be watching, hold up my hand. It was beautiful in concept. It was beautiful in the idea. I loved it when I held him. But the transition was a mess. And people will mistake your mess for your destination. So I believe through prayer and by the Holy Spirit that the body of Christ is in one of three, if not all three, places of transition. And we're going to go through those three places through three different Bible stories because I love the Bible. Amen? I'll be a horrible Bible college dean if I didn't love the Bible. So I love the Bible. All right? So here's the first place we're going to go to. All you Bible scholars that are taking notes, go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 through 30. We're not going to read the whole thing. But just write that down. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 through 30. The first place you will experience transition is in your physical capacity. You will first experience transition in your physical capacity. In this story, we have a man named Isaac. And the hand of the Lord is on Isaac. And you and I know whenever God's hand is on you, you will prosper. Whenever the hand of the Lord is upon you, you will prosper. So now Isaac begins to sow, like Pastor Chad said. And everywhere he goes, he becomes prosperous. He begins to experience every level of prosperity according to the word of God. But do you also understand that as you begin to prosper, opposition comes your way as well? As you begin to make it, the real people come out. As the Lord begins to bless you, all the people that used to pray with you, you can no longer find them. Because you got the blessing, they didn't. So I thought you were my Aaron and my Herb, but now you're just my Jezebel. All right, good, I got your attention. So here's what begins to happen. Isaac goes to a place, and he's prosperous. And the first place he sows is in a place called Gerar. And then the people that were opposing God came and said, no. All this stuff that you planted and you got is actually on our land, so it's mine. So you're going to have to get up and get out. It's the OB version of the Bible. And when I looked at the name Gerar, it means to drag out roughly. So what does he do? He gets up and he moves to a place called Esek. Shout Esek. When he gets there, he plants. God prospers. And they say, this is our land too. So you got to get up and leave. Leave everything that God has prospered you with. And Esek means strife and quarrel. Do you see this? Every time you get blessed, there's always a problem. And oftentimes, it's with church folk. Can I be real? Can I be real? Oh, can I share my testimony? Another one. goes to a third place. That's called Sitnah, S-I-T-N-A-H. And he gets there. Can you guess what happened there? This is our place. Get up, get out, leave everything. So now he's gone to three different places where he has sown, he has reaped, he has a harvest. God said to go there. He's went there. And now every single time, opposition came. And Sitnah means this, adversary or opposition. And as I'm saying this, a lot of you are saying, wow, that's my life. Wherever I go, there's always a problem. Every landlord I have, problem. Every boss I have, problem. Every seat I sit in church, that's my seat, problem. Every time you buy a car, you keep having more kids, Larson's, problem. You keep growing, and the enemy keeps taking. So now you begin to think like this. Perhaps I'm the problem. And every time people come against me, they're jealous of the stuff that I have. Oh, but can I challenge your theology today? I want to challenge you with this. Perhaps God will not honor a place that is too small to contain all that he has for you. Say, prove it, Pastor. Say, prove it, Pastor. Thank you. It helps with TV. The fourth place he went to was a place called Rehoboth. And in Genesis chapter 26, verse 22, here's what Rehoboth means. For now the Lord has made room for us. For now the Lord has made room for us. Stop crying over a place that you have outgrown. Isaac outgrew Isaac. Isaac outgrew Sitnah. Isaac outgrew Gerar. But Rehoboth was waiting for him because it was big enough to contain everything that God had for him. So many of you have outgrown the place and you're wondering, well, this person doesn't like me. This person doesn't like me. Let me challenge your thinking. Perhaps it's too small for you. Perhaps God wants to increase the place he has for you. Perhaps he wants to get you out of Gerar, out of Esek, out of Sitnah to Rehoboth that says, now in this place, I have enough space for you to contain everything that I have for you. Some of y'all need more land. Some of y'all need more houses. Some of y'all need bigger vehicles. Some of y'all need bigger commercial properties. Some of you need bigger businesses. Some of y'all need to stop thinking so small. Stop thinking that everybody is against you. That is foolish thinking. Perhaps saying, God, am I in a place that is too small for everything you have for me? God, you are the God of exceeding and abundantly. You are the God that will do more than. How about maybe in this place, I'm putting a lid on you? I cannot expect God to honor a place that is insulting to the magnitude of his blessings for me. He will not honor it. It would be a mockery to God and to all of Christianity if God says, well, I have all this for you, but go stay in that place down the road. My wife and I, we went to Sample Barbecue last night. Yikodobo Shai. And as we pulled up, I said, babe, this used to be the old church. Could you imagine if all this tried to still remain in that, it would be an insult to our God. But could you imagine if Pastor said, well, if I get a bigger building, the people, they're going to say more stuff. The town's going to come against me some more. Pastor's going to think, I just want a mega church. I'm going to keep it small. And at least two-thirds of you would never be here because the place couldn't contain the blessing. You don't fit because you were never intended to fit. That opposition you have, perhaps it's time for greater. Shout greater. Shout increase. Shout more. Well, this sounds like a prosperity message. You better believe it is. You are engineered and created by God for increase. Be fruitful and multiply. It's not just about children. It's about capacity. First time I had my small group at my house, we only had like half the people and their kids. And my house was packed. I looked at my wife, I said, babe, we need a bigger house. We need to increase our capacity. This place is too small for all that God has. I remember when we used to have 40 people at Pastor Dan's house playing kickball, and Jody would run through the house with a hose and say, "I love people." Like, weird. But in that moment, as I hid in the corner, I realized that their house is too small. They need to increase. You have to get to the point where you stop being so worried about the opposition and say, "Father, increase my territory. Increase me so I can house more. Oh, what's going to happen when upwards start to go to different countries?" Okay, maybe y'all don't receive that. What happens when the Bible school starts to be planted in different countries? What happens when Pastor is on one side of the country, Pastor Rhonda is on the other side, and we have like 10 multi-campuses happening at the same time? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when you walk in 2 minutes late to church and your entire row is filled up? What's going to happen? It is time for supernatural increase in my physical capacity. Gone from this day forth, gone are the days where I will blame one more person about the opposition at where I'm at. From this point forth, your declaration should be this: "Father, I thank you, because the opposition means this. This place is too small." Are you with me? So turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, it is time to increase your physical capacity." If you believe that, shout amen.
Amen.
Whoo, this next one. My goodness. You will have a transition in your social capacity. You will have a transition in your social capacity. For you scholars that are taking notes, this is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. We have a man named Elijah, and he's just chilling. His time is almost up. And the Bible says that there's a school of prophets, aka Bible college students, that are supposed to be the future pastors and ministers and prophets of the next generation. And there's a man within that school named Elisha. Shout Elisha. And he's different because he says, "I see something in that man's spirit, so I'm going to follow him despite the cost. I'm called to this office and to this school, but I see something over here that's pulling my spirit." Not his anointing, his spirit. So each place that he goes to, this happened twice in verse 3 and verse 5. He's going, and all his schoolmates say, "Elisha, don't you know that dude's about to die? What you doing?" And Elisha says this: "I know. Be quiet." Okay. Second time, mind you, they're following him. They're following him. And to the next place, they say, "Hey, Elisha, he's one step closer to death." Elisha turns around and says, "I know. Hush your mouth." Because Elisha understood this: I will not jeopardize my destiny for old relationships that cannot handle where God's about to take me. Your friends loved you in your old season. It's 11 p.m. Let's go to the bar. Bet they're 10 minutes later. They love that part about you, but they don't like the one that will shoot you a text: "You're going to come to church with me?" "I'll pick you up." You have the same migraine every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. precisely every week. Come on now. So many of you, and this is hard, it's okay, have outgrown friendships, but you hold on to them because you refuse to increase your social capacity. So now you're holding on to people that were never meant to be part of your future. Can I go one step further? A lot of you have one-night stand friendships in which it gives you temporary satisfaction, but they have no interest in your future. Yeah, see, this side is clapping. That's harsh, isn't it? But it's the truth. They care about you at the bars. They care about you when they want to go shopping. Thank you, Jesus. They care about you for everything else outside of your destiny. But when Elisha said, I see my destiny moving. I see it going this way. I feel something here, but I see my destiny going this way. I don't care what's behind me. I look forward and I will cut off everything behind me. I don't care what you have to offer to me as a person. I'm being led by the Spirit. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I grew up with these people. Yeah, in the old season. But I thought that you died to that old person. So should have every relationship that refuses to grow with you. If they refuse to grow with you, that's their problem, not yours. They had the chance to catch up with you. You invited them to rock solid faith. You invited them to church. You invited them to group. And they refuse to grow with you. I'm not saying don't talk to them. I'm not saying cut them off. I'm just saying change up your connection. Change up your connection. Change up your connection. There is a supernatural divine transition in your social capacity. In your social capacity where it says anyone that will link up with me, we better be moving towards the Spirit of God. If you want to slow down, as Pastor Andre tells me, this, and don't get mad, it's her quote, I make no apologies. One day I was having lunch with her and she said, Pastor Obi, you need to stop apologizing. And you tell them this, no condemnation, but no apology. I don't condemn you for where you're at, but I don't apologize for where I'm at. Her words, not mine. Crucify her, not me. I make zero apologies for God growing me and you refusing to grow with me. And that's Bible. Get mad at me all you want. That's okay. Hate me all you want. That's okay. You're just coming against the word. It is time for us to increase our social capacity. Because in a divine connection, God's about to bring you in with people that say, I don't know what it is about you, but there's a check with your name on it. I don't know what it is about you, but there's property with your name on it. I don't know what it is about you, but there are businesses with your name on it. I love following Pastor David Hall on social media. In the last 3 months, like 2 or 3 people have said, here's my church. Divine connection, because he was willing to say to the people that can't run with me, I don't condemn you, but I don't apologize either. I'm going this way. And as you move on, connections come, connections come, connections come, connections come. Why? Because you shed yourself of the old and you've increased your capacity for the new. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. So first, you increase your physical capacity. Then you increase your social capacity. Oh, here's a third one. You will increase your spiritual capacity. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I feel so bad for Peter. Peter was the most rebuked disciple. Y'all, I grabbed like the largest sweat towel. I don't know why. It was like the largest one I grabbed. And in this story, Jesus says, Peter, just so you know, you're going to deny me. But don't worry, I'm praying for you. So when you've come back, strengthen your brethren. And Peter's like, nah, I would never do that, Jesus. I am your ride or die. I would never do that. Jesus does not lie. So Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And then we don't hear from him for a few chapters. Actually, after the Gospels are done, we don't hear from him until Acts chapter 2. And here's what's very interesting is many of us find ourselves in this place of transition, but then we allow other people's perspective of us to define who we are. So you see a snapshot. I see Peter denying Jesus. I see a man that walked with him, but then denied him. It is very easy to mistake a snapshot for the destiny. It is very easy for people to look at you and say, wow, Kathy, things look rough right now. Well, I pray you get better, but deep down, you know this isn't my end. You just took a snapshot. And you have two choices. Do I focus on my destiny, or do I allow this snapshot to become my eternity? And so many of us allow the snapshot to become our eternity. Well, yeah, I did deny you, Jesus. I walked with you for almost 3 years and still couldn't even tell a 12-year-old girl that I knew you. Completely denied him in a snapshot, mistaken for his destiny. But here's what I want to challenge you with. It is the words and the thoughts over your life from you that would determine if you remain in the snapshot or in destiny. Think about it. A lot of y'all say, well, I'm stuck in this efficiency apartment, when you should be saying, I'm destined for a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, in-ground pool, mortgage-free house. Okay. Some of y'all will say, well, I'm stuck flipping burgers. That's your snapshot. Your destiny should be, I own multiple businesses, multiple divisions, multiple countries, multiple boards. God has me set up for multiple. That's what I'm destined for. Your snapshot could be, I'm single right now. Over here, Father, I thank you. There is a tongue-talking, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, fire-baptized, praying, good credit, spouse for me. That's what I prayed for. And I got it. Hey. You may say, well, I'm so shy, I can't really share the gospel. When my destiny is, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. That these signs will follow me. That I will speak in new tongues. I will cast out devils. Whenever any deadly thing will come around me, it cannot touch me. And when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Then when I preach the word, Mark 16:20 says, God will then confirm it with signs and wonders following. That's what I'm destined for. So here's the question. What are you speaking over your life? What are the thoughts? What are the words? I'm going to end with this. A lot of you are saying, well, Pastor Obi, I'm this person. I still feel stuck. I know I'm in transition, but I feel stuck. What is the hope that I would get unstuck? And I believe it's found in the scriptures. Because Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. And when the Bible did not say if, there is no angel that will stop this thing from happening. When God says when, he said when you come back, when you get out of this point, you will not be stuck forever. God is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. He said when you get up, you need to stop thinking to yourself, well, I may not make it. I may not get out. Stop speaking death over your life. Begin to speak that when confession. When I get out of this, when I'm debt free, when I have that great job, when I have that house, when I have my ministry. It's time for you and I to start to say when, not if. I'm done with the days of if. I'm done with the days of if. I'm done with hope. I am done with sowing and seeding and then speaking the if over it. When I sow, it's a when. When I give, it's a when. When I serve, it's a when. It's all in your mouth. The power of life and death is in your mouth. And Jesus perfectly exemplified that. When you get up, When? Then we go to Acts chapter 2. And the when comes to fruition. Where Peter stands up and says, these dudes aren't drunk as you suppose. It's 9 a.m. It's too early for that. Go back to bed. But they're not drunk as you suppose. Because in these last days, God said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Who's ready for pouring out of his spirit over you? Who's ready for some dreams? Who's ready for some visions? Who's ready for some prophecies? It's not an if, it's a when. It's happening, baby. It's not an if. I'm so confident. It's not an if, it's a when. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. The key to your transition of getting unstuck and moving to destiny is a changing of your confession from if to when. That's the key. Jesus spoke one word, when Peter was released to his destiny. I want to challenge you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. The beauty of transition implies that there's a destination. And for many of you in this place, the most important destination you need to first reach is the cross. Because without the cross, this sermon doesn't matter. Without the cross, none of this matters. Without the cross, not only will you be stuck, you'll be stuck in an eternity where I won't be able to rejoice with you. And that saddens me. So I want to encourage you, as this word was going out, I prayed Mark 16:20 over it, that God will confirm it with signs and wonders. And the greatest sign I prayed for was for at least one person to say, wow, I don't want to be stuck in this anymore. I need to run to the cross. If that's you in this place, and you say, Pastor Obi, after this word, I truly believe that now is my moment. Not if, but the when is now. For me to run to the cross. If that's you, you no longer want to be stuck in the world, but you want an eternity with Christ, everybody else is seeing in this room, and with your Heavenly Father, you want to give your heart to the Lord with every head bowed, every eye closed, I challenge you to be bold and to slip up your hand. And the when is now. 3, 2, 1, hands up. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Amen. If that's you, I want to challenge you to come down to this altar. If you're scared, grab the person next to you. Chuck Wheeler. The guy behind you, he raised his hand. Can you please pray with him? If that's you, come on. Everybody's standing up. If you raise your hand, I want you to come down to this altar. Come on. This is the most important decision of your life. Come on, clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. This is why we do what we do. For lives being changed right now. Come on. Give your King a clap. The Bible says that the angels rejoice with every soul. Come on. Come on. Let's blow the roof off this place. Because God has showed up. He has confirmed his word with the sign of salvation. Hallelujah. I'm so proud of you. The best decision of your life. We have an amazing team right over here. They're going to pray with you. They're going to give you a Bible. And we're going to call you, not to stalk you, but just to say, how can we help you no longer be here and get toward here? Amen. God, could just turn that way and follow Mindy. That'd be great. Everybody else still standing. If you are just tired of being stuck, and I don't care what you're stuck with, and you are ready to put a down payment of your words of saying no longer if, but today is the when, and you're tired of being stuck, I want our team to pray with you. Now, if you come up to this altar, don't give me your life story. I'm going to be like Elisha, be quiet. In love. This is why. Let me explain to you. Because I don't want you to think that you telling me your life story
and me having that knowledge, or any of us, is why God moved on your life. I want him to get the glory. I decrease so that he may increase. So decrease your talking and let him increase. Amen? Just cut the altar in half. So if that's you, and you're tired of being stuck, and you want one of the pastors to join with you and pray, and we're going to pray that the when is today. That from this point forth, your confession will change, your attitude will change, and what is in the future for you is going to be pulled into the present. And you begin to experience growth in your physical capacity, growth in your social capacity, growth in your spiritual capacity. If that's you and you want prayer, come down to this altar right now. Come on, quickly, quickly, flood this altar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I challenge everybody else, when you go home this week, you need to read those three stories, okay? They're not just mere stories in the Bible. It's the power of God. His word, Brother Trey said, is like fire. You read those scriptures and you begin to receive it. Yes, God, you can increase me physically. You can increase me socially. You can increase me spiritually. Amen? Father, I pray a blessing over everyone in this room. Father, that as we minister, your spirit will move. Father, people will never be the same again. Father, I thank you. As the pastoral staff will come up and begin to pray, Father, I release the power of heaven right now. If you have a heavenly tongue, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, right out loud. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Ushers, we need you guys over here with Pastor Chad. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on, cover these people here. Cover them. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Jesus. If you're not at the altar, you are dismissed quietly. But if you want to stay and pray and join hands with them, stay here and continue to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for increase right now, God. Jesus, Jesus. Father, supernatural increase, God. Increase, Father God. Lord, enlarge their territory, God. Lengthen their stakes, Father God. Jesus. God, I thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, begin to receive. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. Come on, come on. Pray, pray, pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if you don't even know what to pray, just to say the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Come on, every demon in hell, everything that's trying to oppose you, come on, it must bow to the name of Jesus. Rebo sianda rabasiko, rababa shoko robos karabasanda. Come on, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Yes, God.
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus.